You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
This week, UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer announced his resignation, paving the way for new leadership in the Labour Party. Starmer has been increasingly criticised by the public and his own party for not taking decisive enough action given his sweeping majority in the previous election. The front-runner to become the new Prime Minister is former Mayor of Manchester, Andy Burnham, who recently won the Makerfield by-election, putting him in the position to become the next Prime Minister. I spoke to Aaron Davis, Professor of Political Communication at Victoria University of Wellington, about the political situation in the UK, the differences in leadership between Keir Starmer and the incoming Andy Burnham, and what impacts these changes will have. Yeah, so we've seen repeated calls from within the UK Labour Party for Starmer to resign over recent months. What's the backdrop behind these calls?
I guess the biggest push has been his incredibly low poll ratings. They went from winning the election with a landslide to often falling into third or fourth place. And the most telling thing was the local elections a month or two ago when Labour got a terrible hit and they lost a large amount of seats and did come in third or fourth in many cases. So that was the final straw. But people already could see that the polling had gone down and he barely had a honeymoon in terms of polling. So it started off bad and it just went from bad to worse.
Well, why did Starmer stay in the leadership position for so long despite calls for him to resign?
Well, you say so long. I mean, it was only 2 years that since the election. And normally you would expect in past history, when I say past history, up to 10 years ago, up to Brexit, people will be given a few years to really do something. 2 years is very little to do anything. I'd almost say it's one of the problems with the system here in Aotearoa, that you have three-year terms and you can't do a lot in there. But either way, people are used to giving people more time. Why did he stay so long? Well, he has a pattern of staying on and doing all right. And when he first took on the leadership after Jeremy Corbyn was forced out, his poll ratings were quite bad and he resisted lots of opposition to move on and step down, and gradually they picked up. You could say that they picked up a lot because the Conservative Party was so deeply unpopular at the time. He was doing what Hipkins Labour is doing now, which is waiting for things to implode and fall into power by default. And that was kind of the strategy. And it seemed to be working. So, yes, he's fought off a lot of people over the years. And one of the things he did to both get power and stay in power was really turn the Labour Party into quite a ruthless machine that kicked out all opposition. So those are the reasons he stayed. One, he fought off the opposition before. Two, he was very good he become very controlling of the party, and the people around him had that very strong control. So that had made it very difficult.
Right. And what has the UK Labour Party looked like under Keir Starmer? And what do you think will be the legacy of his term as Prime Minister?
It's hard to say. I think it's going to be a blink in the eye. It'll be like Rishi Sunak's premiership, which didn't last long. Not as bad, not quite the same as Theresa May, but I put him in the same category as those two, who are basically centrist, sensible type people who try to keep things ticking over under very difficult circumstances. And I think the problem was, you know, all of them were very much constrained by circumstances, and Starmer was too. So they weren't able to achieve very much other than seeming to be stable after the likes of Boris Johnson and Liz Truss and periods of utter chaos. But the trouble is just establishing normality is not much of a legacy. It doesn't get you very far. So that's all you can say. I mean, he tinkered a lot around the edges in terms of bits of tax policy, bits of economic stimulus, bits of this, bits of that. He did a lot of U-turns because every time he tried to put forward something, there was a big opposition. He stepped back. So unfortunately, his main legacy will be having not taken advantage of a very powerful majority to make radical change and to stay very much in the guidelines, not push the boat out too far, not take advantage of that huge majority. And it's a wasted opportunity, I guess, will be his legacy.
We've seen some jump in support for the Greens and Reform parties in the UK. Do these have anything to do with the current situation?
Yes, I mean, I would say they're a direct response to having centrist, similar style politicians of right and left in recent years. If you take out Truss and Johnson, but if you go back, apart from Truss and Johnson, if you go back to the 1990s, there's certain sort of consistency of policy that goes through. So yes, not a big diversion from things. And sorry, I lost my track of thought. But what I meant to say was that consistency has slowly alienated large groups of people, because at the same time, but on major issues, particularly the economy, large groups of people have just seen their wages stagnate, their conditions stagnate, housing's more expensive, it's much more difficult to get on. And whether a party of the left or right has come in, whatever they've claimed, it's continued in that vein. And Starmer did what many parties of the centre have done for decades recently, which is to take for granted their core vote. And that core vote has now got very upset. And that core vote, the core vote that was more from the Conservative side, but a substantial group of Labour voters, have now given up and moved over to Reform. At the same time, another substantial group, more from Labour, have moved over to the Greens, because the Greens are sounding more left. And it's, again, it's a similar situation here to here with Labour and the Greens. Disaffected Labour, disaffected National are looking to the alternative parties for something a bit more radical to change things. So I see a similar dynamic going on.
Yeah. Andy Burnham is set to replace Starmer. How do these two differ as politicians?
Burnham had a long political career. He was in the Blair cabinet for many years. He came up with Tony Blair, and he served in cabinet or shadow cabinet for, I'm not sure how long, 15 years. Keir Starmer was more of a technocrat. He came into Parliament relatively recently. His experience was running public prosecutions, an established lawyer. So Burnham's much more a politician with the good sides and bad sides of that. He's a good operator. He's much better at selling himself, much better at ducking and diving, doing the infighting, doing the steady stuff, much better on the media. Starmer was a very sort of dull figure. Andy Burnham's much more publicly appealing. I would say Starmer also did have very little idea of what he wanted to do, other than take control of the party and move it slightly to the left, or British politics to the left. We're not quite clear what Burnham wants to do, because being from the Blairite stable, he's also quite centrist. Since becoming mayor, and since the Blair years, he sort of made a lot of more left noises, but he often retracts and steps back. So his policies may not be that much different to Starmer's. He might just be a better salesperson. But no one's quite sure, because he's a very pragmatic politician. He's a very clever politician, and he may be turn out to be more radical than many people think. But most people I know who watch these things think he may not change very much. He'll just be a better salesperson.
Yeah, I mean, what do you expect an Andy Burnham-led Labour government to look like and do?
I think a big question is where they appoint Ed Miliband, who's on the left of the party. That he's not strong left, but he's left by comparison, and whether he takes on the chancellorship, one of the major roles, and directs more policy towards more left ideas, around taxation and state interventions. I guess that'll be a good signal. But many of the other politicians, the frontline ones, the ones that are more well known, are very much of a style and political belief of Starmer, I would imagine. But again, Burnham might come in and appoint Miliband. He might appoint some more left people who've been sitting on the backbenches for some time. So he may go in another direction, but we'll have to see. From what I read, there's quite a bit of debate inside the Burnham camp as to which way they're going to go and who is going to be appointed to which position. Although, you know, it still be a while before he's appointed leader and prime minister, although that looks increasingly likely.
Is there anything else you wanted to add?
It wasn't a surprise. Well, once he was allowed to stand for the by-election, Andy Burnham, he'd been held back and prevented from a previous attempt. I think the writing was on the wall for Starmer. And I think because he won that election so successfully, that has really catapulted events, made Starmer resign quicker. He thought he could probably fight on, made other people in the Labour Party, like Wes Streeting, who thought they could stand, realised that the support was going to fall in line behind Burnham. So he's obviously popular within the party, popular with a larger group of the public. So I expect him to come in and have a bump. But whether he'll be able to change things within the next 2 or 3 years before the next election is another matter.
That was Professor Aaron Davis speaking about Keir Starmer's resignation and what this means for politics in the United Kingdom.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.